Fratelloni's Ace Hardware stores all over the Twin Cities. Mine happens to be at Grand and Dale in St. Paul. Fratelloni's Ace Hardware stores bringing you this wonderful podcast.
And now, from the mayor's office above the boathouse on the east shore of Spoon Lake, it's Garage Logic with rookie on production, Chris Reavers, director of social media, John Hyde in the newsroom, and occasionally Kenny from the Krabby Coffee Shop. Here is your flashlight king, fireworks commissioner, and keeper of common sense, your mayor, Joe Soucheray.
All right, get this. This is from the College Fix, which is a great site on the Destroyed Academy. A website run by University of Washington students allows individuals to publicly accuse people of sexual assault with no evidence. The website is called Make Them Scared UW. It was first registered in November of last year. I am scared. This thoroughly frightens me. It was registered in November of last year, but reportedly launched in late September of this year by University of Washington students, the daily UW campus newspaper reported. It appears that the list of accused rapists and sexual assault perpetrators has grown substantially on the site in recent weeks in the wake of the rape claims made against U.S. Supreme Court Justice nominee Brett Kavanaugh. Meanwhile, one student named on Make Them Scared UW told the College Fix that the allegation is false, that the University of Washington has dismissed the allegations against him as completely uncorroborated and cleared him of any wrongdoing. Thus far, every person named on the list is male, and their names include the school they attend. Many listed on the site appear to be University of Washington students, but as apparent word of this site has spread, students from many other colleges are now listed too. The site does not employ any mechanisms to verify the truth of any accusations it publishes, and the website's moderators attempt to protect themselves from liability or criticism by stating atop the list of the accused, "Please remember, just because a name is on this list does not mean the individual is guilty. All it means is that we have received an accusation against them." Well, there was a time in this country when a college would not print the names of somebody without evidence.
Right.
What are we witnessing here?
It's like the parents are away for the weekend, all across the world. No accountability.
The moderators of the website did not respond to the College Fix's repeated request for a comment. The Fix sought to learn if the site's moderators had any concerns about accusations being directed at innocent people and whether or not the website has received any legal challenges for publishing unverified allegations. According to the Frequently Asked Question page on the website, Make Them Scared UW is a communal rape list. It is intended to be an online hub for anyone who wants to expose the names of their attackers and harassers and to fill a gap left by inadequate treatment of these cases by formal institutions. Innocent people are going to have their reputations ruined. You're seeing it play out. You're seeing the same attitude in the college here as you are in the U.S. Senate, where Democrats are entirely comfortable calling Kavanaugh guilty without evidence. No evidence. And they're entirely comfortable calling him guilty. Am I incorrect?
No, you're exactly right on. How is it going to work on the other side when a Democrat is accused? And I hope this doesn't happen because I don't want this trend to continue, but it makes me wonder how this will be handled by the Euphorians. And I guess I don't count Keith Ellison's accusations in there right now. I'm talking about more of a national scale or in the scene.
The Ellison allegations are far more, carry more weight, I would argue, because rhetorically, than Blasey Ford's allegations. The timeline is closer. Dates are remembered. There's apparently the video, on and on and on. But Ellison apparently will survive this. And he's asked a House Ethics Committee to investigate him, and everybody thinks that was noble. Well, stop for a minute. What the hell does he care? He's leaving the House.
Right.
What point was a House Ethics Committee?
Right.
None.
Yeah,
plus, they
gone.
Wouldn't have their work completed by the time he's trying to run for the attorney general.
Very calculated.
It's all hypocrisy. Very calculated. It's all hypocrisy. In an interview with the student newspaper, The Daily UW, University of Washington School of Law Associate Professor Zar Syed said that the website moderators could face considerable risk of a defamation lawsuit by anyone whose name they mention in connection with the criminal behavior or sexual assault that gives rise to civil liability. You know what it's going to take? It's going to take a billionaire who doesn't like the way the world is going to go to places like the University of Washington and sue the hell out of them. Sue them. Bring them to their knees. This is a direct result of students in the destroyed academy believing themselves to be entitled to whatever truth they concoct.
And they'll stop at nothing.
Apparently they will not stop at anything. Troubling thoughts. Facebook, you gotta toe the political line of Facebook, or you can't work there. Well, I predict that, by the way, that guy will get fired. Kaplan.
Just because he attended...
Apparently he and Kavanaugh have been lifelong friends. He's a buddy.
Well, will there be a litmus test that you need to go through to take when you are going to apply at a major company like Facebook?
Apparently.
3M never told their employees how to vote. General Mills?
Here's why I'll take that bet. I don't think this guy will lose his job, and here's why. Because there's no evidence of any wrongdoing as far as an employee.
That's not what's at stake here.
No, I
finish your thought, and I'll tell you where I'm not going to argue with you. I'll just tell you why you're wrong.
Because it would be easy money for this guy to have a lawsuit against that company. Don't you think? That's the first thought I have, but I don't disagree with you, by the way. I think this is the society that we live in now, but my God, this would be the easiest case in the history of mankind.
Well, there is that aspect of it, but getting back to your earlier point, there being no evidence that this guy did anything wrong is not what's important to these people.
That's true.
They don't care about evidence.
You're right. Clearly.
It's just how they feel.
Trump, evil. Trump judicial nominee, evil. Must be outraged. Must protest. Must resist.
Sound like a robot.
And what's this? Who's director of public world public policy is a friend of Kavanaugh? That can't be.
Driverless host.
Mm-hmm. It's just amazing.
Why are you bringing me down on a Friday?
Yeah, no
Don't
kidding.
You have any positive Friday news?
Yeah, but I got to take you down a couple more times.
Jesus.
Well, it's
on
the
spindle. How long is the show going to be?
Yeah. It's going to be longer than you think. Okay. I'm going to bring you down one final time.
Okay.
The Pittsburgh Marathon ran into some problems earlier this month when it announced Chick-fil-A as the official title partner for its children's race.
Do not tell me. Right now I'm going to do this.
Pittsburgh Three Rivers Marathon announced its partnership with Chick-fil-A Pittsburgh late last month and celebrated with a family-oriented event on October 2nd. Children posed for photos with the iconic foghorn, please. With the iconic cow mascot dressed in running gear and took home prizes and coupons, Chick-fil-A Pittsburgh serves as the title partner of the Kids Marathon and a presenting partner for Kids of Steel, a nutrition and activity program for children in southwestern Pennsylvania. We're grateful to Chick-fil-A for their support and are thrilled that they share our commitment to inspiring the next generation of runners throughout the Pittsburgh region, Troy Schooley, Senior Vice President of the Marathon, said in a statement. But the partnership was decried by some, including those in the LGBT activist community.
Sure.
Oh, no, no, no. Pittsburgh has brought Chick-fil-A on as a sponsor of their youth races. Sue Kerr, founder and editor of the Pittsburgh Lesbian Correspondence blog, wrote on Twitter, LGBTQRPPYNDVUMPQRST and youth from non-Christian faiths deserve better. This is a divisive, hurtful choice.
And from non-Christian faith?
Mm-hmm. On her blog, Kerr argued that it's highly inappropriate for any Christian organization or business to eagerly jump into anything to do with youth and children right now, citing the ongoing sex abuse controversies in the Catholic Church and the sexual misconduct allegations against Kavanaugh. So, the same people who are upset that Kaplan showed up at Kavanaugh's hearing are the same people who would say to the people of Pittsburgh, you cannot affiliate yourselves with Chick-fil-A because they don't think the way we do. There's no evidence that Chick-fil-A used this sponsorship to proselytize anybody about faith. It just happens to be a country, a business that closes on Sundays and was founded by a guy who believes in a marriage between a man and a woman. The same guy who believed that didn't say that you couldn't be a member of the LGBT community.
Right. It's just the money. It's a sponsorship.
We're just being torn apart, but not enough people are pushing back. That's why the pushback T-shirt was the largest selling T-shirt in state fair history.
That's true.
Pushback.
And it was simple.
How can this be? How can this woman be taken seriously? She even managed to drag the Catholic Church into it.
Right.
The Catholic Church has made a lot of mistakes, but I don't think they've had anything to do with the Pittsburgh Marathon.
Probably not. They promote running, too, I think. They want everybody
What would happen here? The marathon here is Sunday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What would happen here if Chick-fil-A was identified as a sponsoring partner? I'll bet you you'd get outraged.
You absolutely would.
You'd have some protests.
Isn't that pathetic?
Yes, it is.
Kerr and others have circulated a petition demanding that the marathon retract its partnership with Chick-fil-A. Earlier this year, in response to the criticism, the Pittsburgh Marathon said it strives to be inclusive of any and all members of the Pittsburgh community and promised to continue to be accepting of any individual or family who wants to participate in our events. That's the other terrible irony here.
Having to justify?
This woman, Kerr, would fancy herself a champion of inclusiveness, but not anybody who actually had a Christian belief. Well, then she's a liar. She's a hypocrite. She's not inclusive of everybody.
Right.
She probably has a sign in her yard. All are welcome here. Except if
except
you're
for
a
little asterisk.
Except me and right. The Chick-fil-A people. Right. Isn't that something? Well, Chick-fil-A was the guy, help me, is it Jack Dorsey? The Twitter CEO?
The Twitter guy?
Is it Jack Dorsey?
I believe it is.
Is that his name, Reavers?
Yes.
He had to apologize because he had the audacity to say he enjoyed a meal at Chick-fil-A. And the club got after him, so he backtracked. Just like Kaplan backtracked and apologized to Facebook because he violated the club rules. You must think what we tell you to think. Why would you ever want to be a member of that club? How comfortable are you being told what you can think?
I would hate that.
Well, of course you would.
Coming from people that think they're such independent thinkers, yet they're allowing these people to say, this is the way we want you to think.
They're liars and hypocrites. I think I better turn our attention to news that's brighter.
Okay.
Why don't you call Patrick?
Okay.
Reeves.
There we go.
Give Pat a call. Let's see if we can line him up here.
Yes, sir.
Answer that, will
ya?
I'm on a phone.
I got a movie for you.
Good, ready? I'm ready. What am I supposed to do? Some jackass is probably trying to sell me a warranty on a car I sold 5 years ago. Right, I'd like to track these people down and with machetes.
Wow. Well, you got the time.
Well,
yeah, I do.
You do.
I got the time.
Did you ever read a book called The Sisters Brothers?
No, I did not.
Well, I did, and now I see it's a film with Joaquin Phoenix and John C. Reilly. It was one of the strangest. It was a Western novel, and but it was fantastic. It was strange and dark and full of twists and turns that absolutely turned that whole Western novel genre on its head. I can't recommend the book highly enough. It's called The Sisters Brothers. Reeves, look it up. It's Eli Sisters and his brother Charlie Sisters. And it's a movie, so maybe you want to check it out.
I'll have to check it out. Joaquin Phoenix drives me crazy, but in this kind of movie, he's probably pretty good. Now, I got something. I got a tip for you.
All right.
You got a pen in front of you.
I do.
Pencil.
I do.
Or a pencil.
Write down these two numbers.
All right.
612.
196.
196.
And 878.
878, yes.
So now if you want to watch a baseball game the next week, you click either one or the other.
All right.
You don't have to go through ESPN or any of this other stuff.
Yeah.
You go to 196 or 878.
Those are
the two.
Well, believe it or not, I got a bunch of these stations on Post-it notes in my garage. And to find the Milwaukee game yesterday, I went through damn near every Post-it note I got until I finally got it. I think it was FSN Plus.
Fox Sports 1.
Yes,
Fox Sports 1.
78.
Yeah, 878. I got that on a Post-it note. Yeah.
Yes, well, that's good, because we worry about you at this time of year. I worry about me. I click all over myself, too, it's not easy. So, anyway.
That was a fairly long ball game yesterday.
Josh Hader, the left-hander who just merely strikes people out for Milwaukee, and he's got a 2-0 lead, and he hooks them.
Mm-hmm.
And then they give up two in the ninth. Johnny Height, were you watching? That was a miracle.
I did see it, yes.
That was a miracle they got out of that ninth without giving up another run.
My favorite part of yesterday's ball game, Pat, was when Ryan Braun hit that single and Yelich goes back to first, and I thought Braun was going to cut his head off. He was so mad at Yelich.
And I was listening on the radio, and they said the guy at first base, the first base coach, was looking at his stopwatch.
Oh, you're kidding.
He thought the ball had been caught, and he's looking at his stopwatch, so he's not yelling. He's not giving Yelich any help at all. So it's not often that a first base coach can screw up, but apparently this.
Well, as a first base coach, I've made a blunder or two in my time.
Four ball games today, boys.
Yes, there's one about to start right now. Boy, I've had a hard day today. I watched the Quincy Jones documentary, which is fabulous.
Oh, cool.
And then now I get to watch four ball games, so it's a hard day here.
And then just go online for machetes. Find out the easiest way at Amazon.com to get a machete.
Then I'm going to hire a private investigator. And the next time somebody says, this is your very last opportunity to get this warranty until I call you again in 3 hours.
The Sisters Brothers, Joe, is it Patrick DeWitt? Is that what you're looking for?
The author's name,
yeah.
I recommend the book. It's very different. Johnny Height, you'd love it.
I'm just reading the synopsis here. Yeah. It looks very interesting.
Yeah. These
Tim Wander gave me, he's quite the reader. He gave me a big plug for J.K. Rowling as a mystery writer. Galbraith. Have you read any of her stuff yet? She's doing it under a pseudonym.
I read one of the wizard books to see what all the commotion was about, but I haven't read any of her pseudonym stuff.
Yeah, she's got four of them, and I got started on one. That's pretty good.
And Camp has a new Virgil Flowers book out called Holy Ghost, which I'm only 40 pages in, but so far it's hilarious.
Good. I like Virgil Flowers. I like him. If he and Lucas Davenport were in a duel, I'd go with Virgil Flowers. I think he'd figure out a way to trick him.
Yes, he would. Say, Iowa at the Gophers. You don't like the Gophers' chances, I take it.
I don't know how good Iowa is. I saw them play Wisconsin, and that was a hell of a game. Very defensive, very low key. I don't think you ought to try to beat Iowa by trying to out-muscle them. You might want to, try to get the ball downfield to Tyler Johnson or something like that. I think you're going to have to make a few big plays against them because they like to play 17-14 games. So you better be able to open it up a little bit, but they're okay. They're not terrific. They're you know, you're playing them at your place. Unlike Wisconsin, which is, of course, has been a couple of notches above Iowa the last 15 years, but the Gophers have beaten Iowa with a fair degree of frequency, even in the last 20 years. They beat Iowa once in a while. Remember when we, what was it? Was it Kill's second year we rushed the field because we beat a 5-6 Iowa team up here, guys?
Oh, that's right, yes.
They rushed the field. So I'm sure we'll get a field rush if we were to beat the Hawkeyes as above average as they are.
And Fleck would lead the rush.
Oh, he would. He would for sure.
I texted you 2 weeks ago because I actually saw Fleck hugging an official during the game. Because he liked the call the guy made. He hugged official. You can't hug an official.
No, that should be 15 yards.
Absolutely.
You know, who knows? Maybe the guy likes boys, and it's an unfair advantage.
That's right. How do you like the Vikings-Philadelphia rematch?
Philadelphia has as many problems as our guys do. They played a very mediocre Tennessee team. They had a 2-touchdown lead. They kicked it away. Then they had it won. They had four fourth downs on the last drive, and they let Tennessee convert every one of them. So they are not what they were. They just had that. They had that machismo going for them late last year. I don't think it's the same for them. They're not as good as they appeared in the last two games of last season. So the Vikes got it. I don't know what we saw of this defense the last 2-3 weeks. Is that real, or do they get their act back together? Because they do. They still have good players. I just don't know what's been wrong with them.
Was it you who quoted Bruce Boudreau saying, by Christmas, there's 27 teams that can make the playoffs and four who can't, and I don't have an idea who those four might be?
Yes.
I had the feeling last night, watching a lot of the Wild game, losing at Colorado, I have no feeling whatsoever for what direction I think this team is capable of going.
No, that's what I'm saying. Well, that league is damn near impossible, isn't it? I mean, there was actually some blowouts the first 2 days, but including the much-improved Buffalo Sabres getting shut out 4-0 at home last night, and the Golden Knights getting hammered at home by Philadelphia. But, you know, when the push comes to shove, every game's 2-2 in the third period. How the hell do you know who's going to win?
We thought Ovechkin would never score another goal, and he scored one on opening night in that romp. Who'd they beat? They had somebody.
They had the Bruins.
Boston 7-0.
7-0 over the Bruins.
And then did you see their game last night? 7-6. They lose to Pittsburgh in, I don't know if it was overtime or shootout or what it was, but
there was
they lost 7-6.
There was a great tweet that said, I think Ovechkin just stopped partying. You know, from the celebration.
He's just coming in right now.
Well, you know, I actually feel sorry for that guy because, I mean, he was, despite all the drinking and carousing and hell raising, he ain't a young man anymore. Mm-hmm. And they just stopped playing about 2 weeks ago. I mean, it was the end of June.
Yep.
If I was running that team right now, I'd be playing him about 12 minutes a game. Mm-hmm. And, put him on a third line and play him a hell of a lot less, I would think.
Save him for May and June.
Yes. He might not have that much steam left in him. Who knows?
Pat, speaking of fines and suspensions, I got a text from the old mayor during the Cubs wild card game, and he says, is this the bleeping guy that can't throw to first base, talking about John Lester? And he said, I'd fine him $25 million.
$25 million.
I want $25 million.
He could pay it.
Yeah.
He could pay it. I think his contract was well over 100, so he could pay it. He could pay it, that's for sure.
If you can't throw to first base as a pitcher in the Major League Baseball, you should be confined to playing baseball somewhere in India.
Why India?
Were you guys watching, by the way, when that guy took off on him?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it was great. Because, here's the timing. Joe. He's left. The guy's left first.
Yep.
Now Lester throws home. You know, like 3 seconds later, Lester throws home.
Why wouldn't you bunt?
The guy had to be 8 feet from second base by the time he threw home.
Every time Lester's pitching, why don't you just bunt it back to him?
Right.
And then just parade around the bases.
I don't think he's as bad throwing guy. He can be bunted on, but the real paranoia is trying to pick guys off.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Do you remember last year he picked a guy off, but he didn't take a step? He threw it flat-footed. The guy took off. He threw it flat-footed and looked like, I don't know what he looked like.
Me?
Leland.
Well, okay, yeah. Like a little kid, but he picked him off. First one he'd picked off in 3 years or something
I'll
like that.
I'll tell you what, though, he's been pretty good lately.
Yeah.
I mean, what's odd about him is four times a year, he goes an inning and two-thirds and gives up 8 runs. Mm-hmm. And then the rest of the time he's good, but he has these games where he just gets hammered. Maybe they show him videos of him throwing the ball the first time.
I was at his start last year, the last game before the All-Star break. The boy and I went when he faced Pittsburgh. He gave up 10 runs in the first inning. I went, well, this has been fun.
Sisters, brothers, Patrick.
Okay, I'm on it.
Thank you.
I got plenty of time to read.
Yes, you do. All right. Thank you.
See you.
And when we come back, we're going to get right into the John Height News Experience.
He'll just make a move. Joe Soucheray.
Here's John Height.
Thank you, Joe. Here in Minnesota, state health officials have issued an alert to doctors after 6 Minnesota kids were diagnosed with a rare virus-linked disorder that causes reduced mobility or paralysis in the arms and legs.
What? I don't like this.
I don't either. It's called acute flaccid myelitis, or AFM. The 6 cases have been reported since September 20th, prompting the Minnesota Department of Health to ask doctors to be on the lookout for the disorder, which has severe consequences, but they're not really sure of origins all the time. Chris Arisman's with the Health Department Infectious Disease Section says it's very rare and certainly something we're taking very seriously. It can be a very devastating situation for children and their families, she said. The disease attacks the nervous system via the spinal cord. Symptoms usually include a sudden onset of arm or leg weakness, loss of muscular reflexes, but can also include drooping eyelids, slurred speech, and difficulty swallowing. These 6 Minnesota kids, all 10 and younger, hospitalized due to their conditions. They come from the Twin Cities, Central Minnesota, and Northeastern Minnesota. Arisman said she hopes that closer study of the children and any other cases uncovered through the latest alert to doctors could uncover some common causes. Well, this is the largest cluster to be reported in Minnesota. It's not the first time in the state. Minnesota had 3 cases in 2014, usually 0 to 1 case every year since. Nationally, most cases have been reported each year in September. So,
are we, I'm about to open up a huge can of worms, but I don't care. Is this a result of kids not getting vaccinated?
That is not. I saw 2 stories. Neither one indicated that.
They're not going to because they don't want to start the public firestorm.
I don't know if there is a vaccination for AFM, so I can't really answer.
I don't
that,
know either.
Truthful.
Yeah. Get your kids vaccinated.
Mm-hmm. Here you go. Maybe this will help. It's linked to unknown genetic and environmental factors. So I don't know if there's something that could prevent that from happening or not. So I don't know.
Don't be stupid. Get your kids vaccinated.
Man, give them a shot.
A man in Florida has been arrested after he threatened to shoot senators who don't support Brett Kavanaugh for the Supreme Court.
Oh, not helping, bud. Not helping.
Not really. Not terribly helpful. Yeah.
James Royal Patrick Jr. arrested Wednesday, charged with making written threats to kill or injure. Investigators say they got an email tip at 11 that morning about threatening posts that he made on his Facebook page last month. Authorities said that Patrick threatened to shoot members of Congress and their families depending on which way the confirmation vote went. He also made threats against any local and federal law enforcement officers that might respond to his home because of those Facebook mentions. Besides threatening Democrats and what he called weak Republicans who might oppose Kavanaugh, Patrick also encouraged conservatives to break into liberals' homes, kill them in their sleep.
Jeez. Go away.
Okay. Vitamin D. Don't
worry. He is.
Yeah, for a long time.
Vitamin D supplements do not improve bone mineral density or prevent fractures or falls in adults. That according to a new study that advises health professionals to stop recommending the supplements to most patients.
What's your buddy's theory, Joe, on all the vitamins that we're taking?
We have very expensive urine.
Yep.
The vitamin has long been associated with a decreased risk of a number of conditions like osteoporosis.
What vitamin is this, John?
Vitamin D.
So we're supposed to take this one?
Not for bone density.
I see.
But there are other reasons to take it.
Okay.
So
what are those reasons?
Well, it supposedly it helps in winter because here we don't get much sunshine, and most of your vitamin D comes from the sun.
I see.
So they say still take it.
And when the sun's out in the winter, I often go outside and just stand there.
Do you?
Yep.
Thanks for letting us in.
Just to absorb the
sun. Letting us in.
To get some video of that.
Yeah. Waiting for a bird to hit the window and nurse it back to life.
Here's a local story making the rounds everywhere now online. A motionless squirrel, apparently stunned by a passing car, was revived by a Minnesota driver who performed chest compressions.
Gross. Touch that lice-infested squirrel.
Beside the road.
See you.
Police did he go mouth-to-mouth on it?
No, he rubbed it, basically. Police officers.
I bet he did.
No wonder the squirrel didn't move.
Police officers on patrol.
I got a good thing going. I'm going to lay it low here.
Police officers on patrol in Brooklyn Park thought the man at first was performing CPR. Oh, in a police video posted to the department Facebook page, the man told the officers he swerved to avoid the animal, didn't think he hit it. The squirrel was not bleeding. The man says he didn't think he hit it hard, otherwise it would have, quote, popped. The man flips the squirrel.
What the hell?
Man flips the squirrel onto its belly as he strokes its back.
Got a little gurney out there, little toothpicks.
Frequent contributor Jordy has one question about this story.
Yeah.
Why?
Why?
We're not short of squirrels.
Right.
We got them.
He can get you a squirrel.
As he strokes its back, the animal starts to come around.
Well, he's a squirrel whisperer.
The squirrel eventually darts away, and the officer tells the boy, "There he goes. You saved his life, dude." That's everywhere online right now.
Mm-hmm.
National, local, everywhere.
Mm-hmm. You'd think the president being in town would be a little bit more interesting than the squirrel
you'd
story.
So,
or get more pub.
Is this sort of a weird barn find here? Did you see this story about the Volkswagen?
That's coming up next.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, I've been bumming everybody out, so I wanted to do some happy stuff.
Oh, okay. Now you're finally coming around toward the end of the
podcast. John, do you have the news about tornadoes?
I don't.
According to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Association, not a talk show host, according to their Storm Prediction Center, which keeps a daily count of cumulative numbers of tornadoes in the U.S. each year and recent years, we've had an unusually low number of tornadoes. As of October 3, the cumulative total for 2018 is 759. The previous lowest number of tornadoes for this date was 761, and these records go back 65 years. I guess we're just lucky, huh?
I guess that's how it works. Yeah.
If we had 2,000 tornadoes this year, we would have been told it's because Americans have profligate ways.
Right.
But because it's low now, I guess we're just lucky. Yeah.
An apparent fight between street performers in Times Square ended with a slashing that left one man in the hospital.
Not the Naked Cowboy.
These were actually two break dancers.
Oh.
Two break dancers got into an argument.
Turned
into a brawl.
Thank God it wasn't the topless gals that come through there.
20-year-old man was slashed in the neck. It happened Thursday night near an Old Navy store on 44th Street and 7th Avenue, a large pedestrian plaza, a very high traffic area. The man was taken to Bellevue Hospital for treatment. He's in stable condition. No tourists were involved in the brawl. Video posted showed one shirtless man handcuffed at the scene. The NYPD said a total of 6 people were taken in for questioning. Unclear if any charges had been filed by Friday morning, and police say the investigation is ongoing.
He was disrespected on his turf.
I didn't see any breakdancers last time I was there.
Mm. After police found methamphetamine in plain view on a nightstand in his home, a Louisiana man claimed that a ghost had put the narcotics in his residence, according to the arrest report.
That's possible.
They're out there.
That's possible.
Responding to a reported stabbing, sheriff's deputies encountered 59-year-old Michael Ottenberry at the door of his West Monroe residence. Ottenberry cursed at the police and said people who were also cursing, according to the report, at people who obviously were not there. Deputies quickly determined that he had not, as he claimed on the 911 call, been stabbed in the head by an axe, nor were there any intruders. While making sure that Ottenberry's residence was clear, deputies spotted in plain view on a nightstand an open brown paper containing 1 gram of methamphetamine. Ottenberry surmised that a ghost or intruders put the meth on him or exiting that home through a nearby window. Police report noted that was not accurate.
Thank you, John.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to cheer you all up here in just a moment.
Thank God. Yes, cheer you all up here in a moment. Enough.
Yeah, all right.
Goodness.
Did you ever think common sense would be this much fun? Joe Souchere.
I ripped this story out of John's hands. These are my favorite stories.
Oh, it's a great story.
What is it?
These are among my favorite stories ever.
Involves a driverless car.
Get ready for it. It involves a car. Get ready with the foghorn, please.
Okay.
The Volkswagen Beetle, seen in a certain light, could be called the most important and iconic car of all time. With over 21 million Beetles produced from 1938 to 2003, it's also the second best-selling car of all time. And this surprises me. The best-selling car of all time has been the Toyota Corolla. I did not know that. And it's just ahead of the Ford Model T. It's rare to see a Beetle in perfect shape or one with extremely low miles, and it's even more rare to see one that is both. Currently listed in Hemmings Motor News is a 1964 Beetle that has been driven only 23 miles since new and is in nearly perfect condition. What do you think the asking price is?
$400,000.
Nope.
I bet it's higher than that.
$1 million.
Wow.
Really?
$1 million.
$1 million.
Okay. How could you preserve that?
I'm going to get to that. Oh. According to the seller, this Beetle was purchased new in Beaverton, Oregon in 1964 as a backup for the owner's 1957 VW Beetle. Apparently, he never needed it, as it was promptly put into storage and never licensed, insured, or driven, and was only moved once. After 2 years of keeping the Beetle in a friend's storage unit, the owner constructed his own building and moved it there, where it sat from 1966 to 2016. Finished in black with a red and white interior, the Beetle looks as if it just rolled off the showroom floor. The window sticker is still attached, and the windshield wipers and hubcaps have never been fitted, and they are still in their boxes, having always been stored inside under a sheet it had until now never seen sunlight, according to the seller. Offsite correspondent Kelsey alerted me to this. This is from Car and Driver. Mm-hmm. After the original owner died in 2014, his collection was passed on to his nephew, who is the person now selling the Beetle.
Of course.
He says the car was returned to running condition after coming out of storage without anything being done to affect its originality. This time capsule car could be the most original Beetle in the world, something that the ad emphasizes. But if $1 million is a bit steep, can we suggest you or interest you in a 60,000-mile 1964 Beetle that's currently on eBay for a mere $5,500. There's not a chance in hell this guy's going to get $1 million.
Why? There's not
I think it's a marvelous car. I would love to own it, but it's not worth $1 million.
I see. You're just driving down the price.
Rarity?
I see what you're doing.
It's not rare. I just got done telling you. The second 21 million Beetle bugs were produced. It's not a rare car.
But to have it in that great shape after having been preserved?
Yeah, but it's still a bug. It's nothing.
It's like Herbie.
If it was a 1964 Porsche 356 under the same conditions with no miles on it, having never been driven, and always in protected storage, yes, that would get $1 million.
If they rolled that thing onto your car show, the auction, what's it called?
Barrett Jackson. There are many car auctions.
You don't think it would? What price do you think it would get? You know, they have the story. It's been, you know, they would tell the story. It's been preserved and 23 miles.
Maybe I'm naive,
but one get $1 million. You'd say?
I'm saying it wouldn't get $1 million. Although maybe there it would, because you got rich people there who get drunk. And they're trying to impress their 42-year-old girlfriend.
I was just going to say, maybe what this car needs is Jerry Seinfeld to come along and maybe put a bid on it.
Well, yeah, Seinfeld I blame for I'll never be able to afford a Porsche 356, which is my favorite Porsche model ever, because Seinfeld's ruined the market because he paid a half mil for a rust bucket. So now everybody thinks they got $1 million.
On Golden Pond, on Golden Pond.
I would love to own this. I think it's a neat piece of history. I think at auction it would go for, I can see it maybe getting to 200.
Okay.
But I can't believe anybody's going to give a mil.
How about the nephew? Old Uncle Fred. You know, I loved him so. Anyway, what is the collection again? How much do I have?
Well,
you liquidated that.
John,
baby.
Do you think it's worth a mil? You're a VW bug guy. That's from your era, anyway.
Well, I had a buddy who had one. It was the hardest car in the world to drive around in, but we did it all the time.
Well, yeah, because you guys were hammered.
No, because
I told you my theory on these.
Yeah.
My dad had one.
Yeah.
A 1960.
Mm-hmm.
And a bunch of his buddies did. Excuse me.
Yeah.
A bunch of his buddies did. And my theory is that they were having a laugh.
Yeah.
That they were having a lark. None of them really needed to drive a car in this state with inadequate heaters and every other thing that went along with it. But I think they thought they were ahead of the curve.
What happened to your dad's car?
It ran its course. And
sold it or got rid of it?
Traded it in. He had buddies in the car business. Mm. One of his buddies was Schmelz at Schmelz Countryside. He had another buddy, Phil Hesley, Aero Pontiac.
Oh, yeah. University.
So I think he got rid of the bug and got a Pontiac.
Mm-hmm. So if you bought this Volkswagen,
yeah,
because a Porsche or whatever, you could at least drive around and go, hey, you know, look at this. This is cool. But the bug, nobody cares.
Well, plus, if you bought it, you'd be compelled not to drive it.
Right, exactly.
It would become garage art. And I don't think it's worth $1 million as garage art.
The only thing that makes it interesting is it only has 23 miles. So why would you want to ruin that?
Right. That's its virtue.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And to your Porsche, you could drive it. If you had a 1964 Porsche 356 under these same conditions with 22 miles on the clock, you wouldn't drive that either.
Yeah, that's true.
The whole point of owning it would be because it had 22 miles on it.
Yep.
Can we do something?
What?
Somebody's calling.
We have to.
Yeah. Please, just punch.
Here, I'll do it.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah, is this KSTP?
Yes.
What's up?
You're on. Now you're listening. You've reached Joe Souchere.
Oh, I'm sorry, Joe.
That's okay.
I love listening to you.
Thank you.
Right. Take care, bud.
Sorry to bother you.
No, you're not. Listen to the podcast at garagelogic.com.
I do.
All right, thank you.
You're going to be on today's show.
You'll hear yourself today.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
All right.
Take care, bud.
All right. Okay.
Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't work. Sometimes it's kind of like, oh, whoops.
You know what we call that, folks? Uh-huh. Rolling the dice.
People are going to get used to the fact that we're around here from noon to 1:30.
Hey, and speaking of that, before you run here, Joe, I want to make mention we are doing that awesome event tonight with some listeners at the Lynyrd Skynyrd concert.
Yeah.
Our winners are Mark Barrett, Scott Erickson, not the former Twins pitcher, Chad Solonek, Terry Scott, and Ben Westmoreland.
All of whom better be there at the opening gun. All of whom better be there on time.
Right. So you can say, how you doing?
How
I'm
Sooch. See you later.
I got to see a guy.
No, I got a thing.
You're not going to be around long enough to see any Skynyrd? Is that what you're telling us?
Oh, God. I don't.
We got Jamie Johnson, then Bad Company, and then Skynyrd.
Freebird?
I'll talk to you about it off the podcast.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah.
GarageLogic.com is where you've found this Garage Logic podcast. Please don't forget to rate us on Apple iTunes, whether it's good or bad, we can take it. And thank you for your patronage. If you want to send a message to Joe, it's gljoe@garagelogic.com, rookie@garagelogic.com, height, is it J height? JHEIDT at garagelogic.com, or Reavers, C Reavers, REUVERS at garagelogic.com. Talk to you later. Thanks for tuning in.